Hey everyone, welcome back to the White Coat Club. My name is Lindsay, and today I am here with Nicole. We are both counselors at Moon Prep. And since we have a lot of students who are currently interviewing, we wanted to talk about a few red flags to avoid giving off during interviews. If you are currently going through the BSNP process or you are preparing for the interview process, don't forget to like and subscribe to get more BSMD and med school admission advice. All right, Nicole, what's one of the biggest red flags you think that kids give off during interviews?
I love this topic. This is such a great one. I think number one, lack of genuine passion for medicine. Obviously, BSMD, direct medical, you really need to come across to them that this is what you know for sure that you want to do, especially on an accelerated pathway. You know, why should they choose you if you're having some doubts or don't come across as the most confident that this is what you want when there's other candidates that do? So like things to avoid, just kind of, oh, you know, I just kind of stumbled upon this, or my parents want me to do this. And, you know, not really having that experience and showcasing that experience to them. So what you want to do is really share specific details and experiences that inspired you for medicine. Instead of saying, you know, oh, I just wanted to do it, I like science. You know, well, maybe that was your first little thing is you liked science and then you did your shadowing and this is, you met a doctor who really inspired you to want to help. And, you know, just things like that really showcase the actual personal experiences. Don't lack passion. That's probably the number one for me.
I completely agree. Sometimes I think kids worry about being like super professional, that means like if I'm professional, that means I can't be excited or passionate about anything. And so then they like kind of are flat and a little bit more boring during the interviews and not very memorable either, because they're kind of just giving generic basic answers to like not tip their hand on their interests. And so I think that that's a huge mistake, is not showcasing that you care about honestly anything. I think the second kind of biggest red flag that sometimes kids will give off in interviews is like a lack of knowledge about the BSMD program. So not doing their research on the medical school, not doing research on the overall program in general. I was doing interview prep with a student, I think it was last year, and the student like mentioned for like UMKC that it was like a 7-year program. And it's like, no, this is like, you know, one of their big selling points is that they are like a 6-year program. Like these are things that we definitely need to know. We have to make sure that we do our research, that we know the facts about it. Obviously you don't have to know everything, but you should know like the very basic kind of things. And if not, it's okay to ask about them. We definitely don't want to like say that we applied just because it's the fastest way to become a doctor. Like we have to really demonstrate a passion and an interest into the program and kind of showcase why it's a good fit for your career goals. Maybe they have like a lot of focus on research, or like their patient centric, like community medicine kind of focus is what really resonates with you. So look into the medical school and the program quite a bit before you interview. This is going to be like especially true for like your traditional interviews, because they almost always ask you like, why this school, why this program? And so like a well-researched answer can really showcase like why you care about finding a good fit for you and ultimately how you'll fit in and add to the school when you get there.
Yes. Knowing the specific program is so important. I think this comes down to also a reason to get on campus and really find out more about the school and the program specifically for this exact reason. I think next would be communication skills. Not coming across sounding professional, having unclear answers, rambling, using or like too often. Obviously, you're not a robot. They don't expect that. You're a high school student. However, you do want to come off polished, sounds like you know, maybe not rehearse this a million times. You don't necessarily want to sound rehearsed either, but you definitely want to practice concise, structured responses that will directly answer the question. We don't want to go on tangents about other things, you know, and then eventually be circling back. And take a second to think about it. If they ask you a question, take a moment, compile your thoughts, you know, pull yourself together. Again, definitely not sounding robotic or fake, but put some thought into it. I mean, this is a big deal. I think we say this on every single episode, or at least I do. Emotional maturity and intellectual maturity, I think, is one of the biggest unknown factors that go into this and who gets chosen, who doesn't. So really trying to come off professional, having those strong communication skills, absolutely.
And make sure to like slow down too when you're talking. This is, I know, something that I will do sometimes. I definitely talk way too fast, especially when I'm excited or nervous. So I do have to like consciously remind myself, okay, slow down a little bit. It's going to be fine. You have to make sure that they can understand you too.
I think too, like the ability to go back and forth, even if they're asking you a question, that doesn't mean you need to speak for 3 minutes in your response. You know, like learning and kind of having that ability to foster conversation while you're answering the question is a big one. Also, I think it could come off as very immature and, you know, a weaker communication skill if you're just, you know, kind of answering that question start to finish without the back and forth. And just think about like your candor and the way that you're speaking. A lot of times I'm doing prep with students, they'll have their response and what they're saying is great. Like the actual facts of what they're saying, but then I will repeat it back to them almost with just a different tone and pausing and, you know, like having those, you know, inflections, and then they'll kind of just hear the difference. So.
Yes. It's like the little things. I was like working with a girl recently and she definitely had like a very much like a speech / like debate kind of voice where she almost like went into like a very, I don't know. It seemed like disingenuous at first, but then I was like, oh wait, no, this is just actually how she is. Cause at first I thought she like memorized her answers and like, you know, she was kind of speaking in a way. And then even if I asked her like something completely random, like what utensil would she be? And obviously she hadn't prepared an answer for that. She would still kind of have that same voice. And so that was like something we kind of worked on reducing a little bit so that it wasn't as like, as obvious throughout. But I think some kids are the exact opposite where they're so flat that they don't have like any variation in tone, or their tone goes up at the end of each sentence. So it always like seems like they're asking a question or they're uncertain or things like that. So I think like recording yourself can be super helpful. And that actually goes kind of into my like next red flag is like unprofessional like demeanor too. Cause I think that this recording yourself can really go a long way in kind of seeing how you are portrayed on screen. You could have fantastic answers. You could have fantastic experiences. But if you like kind of have that poor eye contact, you're slouching, you're like keep swiveling in your chair, kind of demonstrates a lot of nerves and, you know, really showcases that maybe you don't have like that emotional maturity too, to be able to handle like a tough situation. So recording yourself can, I think, help with a lot of like those little things that take your interview from like an okay interview to like a really good engaging one. Whenever you are recording yourself or doing interview prep, try and see how your posture is. What's your eye contact like? Put on your outfit that you're planning to wear too, to see like how it looks on screen, because it could end up like not looking great, or it could, you know, be too distracting or whatever it might be. And do it like in the place where you're planning to do interviews. And in addition, plan to do it, like do an interview prep around the same time as your interview too, because you could always be doing like interview prep at like, you know, 7 p.m. and you're always sitting your back to a window and it's not a big deal because the sun is down. But if your interview was like at 11 a.m., the sun could now be like shining behind you, meaning that you're washed out. We can't see your face. And so try and think about like what the lighting will look like during your interview as well. Your face should be lit from the front. I'm sure we don't need to tell like this generation like how to make themselves look the importance of lighting, but you'd be surprised about how little I see some of kids' face, just because like it's all in the shadows or half their face in the shadows or things along those lines.
I think professionalism is huge too. And you know, we talk a lot about the BSMD and a lot of them are virtual these days, but there are some Ivy League schools that do the alumni interviews where you will meet in person. And I've met with a couple of students this year who wanted to interview prep for in-person alumni interviews where maybe they're at like a Starbucks or not a super professional setting, not the traditional in an office kind of building room. And we had a lot of conversation about holding yourself professionally. You're going to get there. You're going to stand in line. You're going to order your drink. You're going to go over to the table and like, you don't need to be fumbling like 8 different bags and all of this stuff. And like, maybe don't get a drink that's like with whipped cream or something that's gonna make messy. And, you know, things like that, that just how to present yourself professionally in sometimes a more relaxed setting too.
It's such a good point. Yeah. You don't want to be like sucking up your drink with like a noisy straw during the interview. I never thought about that, but that would be really comical.
Yeah. Yeah. And like have a napkin, like don't be walking around with a milk mustache or something.
And to that end too, like if it is like a virtual interview, have water nearby, have like a place you can take notes. You know, you might think that you're going to be fine, but I know whenever I'm nervous, my mouth suddenly like dries up and it's like a desert in there. And so I might need more water than I would normally need on a call. Make sure to accommodate those types of things. Be overly prepared, especially when it's like a virtual interview, with the things that are within reach.
Control what you can control in that aspect.
Yes.
Like have things ready. I think next, a lot of our students are doing MMI. So I think some ethical red flags. A lot of times when I prep for MMI with students, again, this is why we prepare. They're maybe not thinking full big picture, and they're going in on maybe what they think they want to hear, or just not portraying like the best sense of ethics, integrity, professionalism. Maybe just having like a one-sided view initially, because again, they've never done this before, and it's kind of tricky to really grasp if you've never done it. So really showcase that you have a strong ethical compass, that you are versatile, that you can see multiple sides to things before making a decision, because that's going to be a big deal for especially the MMI interviews.
Yeah, do practice. I've like seen a difference in like my kids like first like two or three MMI scenarios versus like their last three. And so like we might do like two to three sessions or more depending on the student, but there is like such a huge difference between the beginning and the end, where they start and where they end, because it is kind of confusing how to be ethical in some cases. Like sometimes it is hard to know how to like what they're looking for, how to portray what they want, and how to showcase like a deep understanding and perspective, really. Yeah. And so practice, I think, is really key to this. And then kind of one last thing that I think is a red flag is like a lack of questions for the interviewers. Now, this isn't going to be true for MMI. This is really true for especially alumni, but definitely traditional interviews too. You should always be preparing like thoughtful questions about the program, research opportunities, or student experiences. And it should really be tailored towards the person that you're interviewing with. So I'll use like an alumni interview, for example. You always know who's going to be interviewing you beforehand. It is absolutely not creepy to Google the person interviewing you beforehand, to look at their LinkedIn profile, to, you know, look at if they have like a professional website or things along those lines. You can always like reference their professional background if it's relevant, like to your questions. You should not be referencing the vacation they took to like Tahiti that you saw on like their Instagram. Like that would be weird. But
that's a boundary.
That would be a bad move. But you can talk about their professional experiences. Yes. Like, especially for like alumni interviews. Like I've had some kids who like will literally be interviewing with someone that graduated from the school like in 1960 or like 1970 or things like that, or even like honestly like the early 90s or the early aughts. Like, you know, at this point, like the campus is so different, so asking questions about like campus culture or like what classes they took, they might not remember. And so like things will have changed a lot too, so maybe change what kind of questions you might ask, like based on what their experiences are, what they're at, and like those types of things too.
And some of them don't even have even remotely the same major that you're planning on doing either, especially for the alumni. So asking broader things, but still specific enough to the school. Like you said, it could have been decades since they've graduated, but I think there's nothing more awkward when they will say, is there any questions you have for me? And the student's like, no, like not one single thing. I think it just screams disinterest.
Yes, I completely agree. It's just like such a small little thing too. Like, you know, take honestly, like 20 to 30 minutes to prepare some thoughtful questions, do your research and kind of like think about things that you do care about. And you don't have to wait till the end. You don't even have to wait until like they ask you if you have any questions. It could be popping up during the interview as well, especially alumni interviews, but even traditional interviews. Like if you're really interested in, you know, a certain opportunity, but you have some questions about it when you're talking about like why you want to attend a certain school, ask about it then. Like it's totally fine. As Nicole was talking about before, with like the give and take.
You can drive it to be much more conversational than just a stark Q&A.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then like one other quick thing that I just thought of too, make sure to send like a thank you note afterwards. We did a lot of interviews like for the counselors here at Moon Prep, and I was actually shocked at how few people sent like, you know, a thank you note afterwards. So I think like as a student, like sending a thank you note afterwards, like it's just like such a nice little gesture. It's something super small. Sending it same day, I don't think you should send it like, you know, as soon as you log off, but you know, sending it within like a couple hours after the interview is a good idea. It doesn't have to be anything huge either. It could be like a, you know, just a few sentences, like, you know, thanking them for their time, maybe mentioning something that they talked about, thanking them again, and like, you know, saying you're looking forward to like learning more or hearing back from them or whatever it might be. I think it just like leaves like a good taste in everyone's mouth. And
especially a lot of these people are doing multiple interviews in one time. So they meet with lots of kids, having that ability to connect with them on something specific and then go back to that, like in the thank you email, they'll definitely remember who you are, or at least have a better chance of remembering you.
I think especially for alumni interviews, like they are kind of doing this out of like the goodness of their hearts. Like they don't have to be doing it. They don't have to be going to like Starbucks and spending like an hour of time with you. Because I don't really think they get much out of it, but you know, they is something that they care about, like making sure that you know about the school and like, you know, answering any questions. I do think
it's definitely a volunteer.
Yes. Like
they're taking time out of their day. So
thank them for that. And honestly, even like the traditional interviews, like sending them a thank you, they still did take time to interview you and teach you a little bit about the program potentially. MMI is always harder because like you obviously don't really know the names of the people that you're interviewing with typically, or you know, you might have 8 people. How do you really do that? So I think for that one, what I've suggested to kids before, if they want to, they can like send just like a thank you note to the person who like organized the event and just say like, thank you for like, you know, the opportunity to interview, and, you know, kind of more, a little bit more generic and a little bit more vague. And that would be totally fine if you want to go that route.
I agree. Like whoever invited you.
Do you think of any other red flags?
I don't think so. Be yourself, but try to be the most polished version of yourself.
Yes. That's such a good way
to think about the people that you admire. Think about like the physicians that you've shadowed, that you're, or the teachers that you have. What about them kind of makes you look up to them? Like, what do they possess? Like, do they have confidence, or like, is it the way they walk? Or, you know, try to pick up on some of those things. And like, that's maybe how you want to kind of present yourself.
I know some of these BSMD programs don't give you a ton of leeway time. I mean, usually it is like a couple. It could be like a week, it could be a couple weeks, sometimes more, sometimes less. Maybe at this point, and if you're a junior kind of listening to this podcast, maybe start preparing in January for like your tell me about yourself or why medicine or like those types of things. And then whenever you get like the actual interview, you can start to like target obviously towards like the school specific type questions and things like that. And of course, if you wanted to do interview prep with us, Moon Prep does offer interview prep. We have like an interview prep specific package. If you're not already a Moon Prep student, you can just get only interview or Casper prep sessions. So yeah, you can reach out to us through our website to kind of figure out how that all works. Interviews are like the last stage of everything. At this point, you've beaten out like so much of the competition. Like you're so close to getting accepted that you really do want to give it your all.
This is your shot. They already like you so far, your foot's in the door. So let's just make it perfect.
They know you're qualified. They know you've got the brains. Now it's all about like kind of like the vibe check and personality check to make sure that, you know, you are someone that they think will contribute on campus, kind of fit the ethics that they're looking for and things along those lines. So yeah, be yourself, showcase who you are, and I'm sure you'll do great.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's for us on interviews, unless you have anything else you want to add, Nicole.
No, I don't think so.
Perfect. Well, thanks everyone. Hope that your interviews go great. And once again, if you need any help preparing, just let us know through moonprep.com. But yeah, we'll be back later with more BSMD and admissions news. And don't forget to like and subscribe to get that content sent right to your phone or device or wherever you're listening to us. See you next time.